you catch the excitement? Thrilling story. And yet, you know, as this story has been told down through the years, there have been those who again and again have said that it was just a myth. And we look at the record that is given to us, and we have to ask ourselves the question, can the story of the resurrection be authenticated? At our earlier service at the sunrise, our speaker there reminded us of the event when Frank Morrison, a man who was a newspaper reporter, set out to prove that the resurrection was nothing but a myth. And the more he studied, and the more he looked into it, and the more he examined it, and the more he looked at the evidence, he ended up writing that extraordinary book, Who Moved the Stone? There is authentication. It is not a myth. And it's not just a fairy story that has been invented for gullible people. And we want to look this morning, just for a little while, at this record that is given as we look at the Gospels. And we want to begin, first of all, this morning in Luke chapter 24, reading the record that Dr. Luke gives for us there concerning that morning that happened. Luke chapter 24, reading at verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles, and their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. And then we just want to look briefly at another passage, again by Dr. Luke in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9, and this fits in with the series of studies that we've been considering as we think of the way in which this story spread through the world. Acts chapter 9, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then we'll drop down to verse 20. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem, and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength, and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. And I'm sure the Lord will bless the public reading of His Word. Go back again to that story that Luke records for us in Luke chapter 24. And the thing that we want to notice, first of all, is the fact of the element of time. It's interesting, as you read through the four Gospels, that each of them present the story in a slightly different way. And because of this, there have been those who have said, well, after all, because the stories differ, then they must be a fabrication. They must have just made it up. But at the same time, as you look at that, there are others who say, well, these early disciples, really, they got together and they arranged together. There was collusion among them to present a story saying that the Lord Jesus had risen when, in fact, He had not really risen from the grave. But the very fact of the differences that there are proves, first of all, that there could not have been collusion. If they were going to present a story, they would have got together and they would have made sure that their facts all matched. And so the fact that there are differences does prove that this was not a made-up story. And secondly, the very fact of the differences, if you take the time and go through and read and draw a comparison between the four records that are given in the four Gospels, you will find that it is very easy to put the differences of the time element together. That the fact that these women set out very early, some of us this morning got up and it was still fairly dark, but by the time we had washed and clothed ourselves and made our way down to the pavilion on the boardwalk, it was getting light. And as we all gathered inside that room, and we were sitting, those of us that were in the singing group, the choir, we'll call it a choir, we were sitting with our back to the sun. But those that were sitting facing out across the ocean, suddenly you could hear the little buzz of excitement through the audience as that little tiny sliver of light appeared right on the horizon, a very still ocean this morning. And gradually it grew and grew. And if we had asked four different people to describe what happened this morning, you would have got four slightly different stories. But you put them all together and they make one story. And this is what we find as we look at the gospel. Yes, there is a sense in which there is a slight difference as far as the element was time was concerned. But these women, as they got together to go out to the tomb, they went out that they might do homage to the person of that one that they loved by presenting spices and doing for him what they had not been able to do the night that he was crucified because of the time. And certainly as you look at the record that Luke has given to us here in his gospel back in chapter 23, you'll find that the disciples, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, as they took the body down from the cross, the women were there. They were standing, watching, and they watched what happened. They watched where the body had been laid. So there was no possibility of error for them. There are those that tell us, well, you know, those women made a mistake and they went to the wrong tomb. But they had watched, they had seen the actual place where the body had been laid. There was no possibility of error as far as that was concerned. But you know, as they stood there wondering what they were going to do, the angels appeared. And it's interesting as we put this into context of the studies that we've been doing of how the word spread, notice what it was that the angel said. The very first thing that he said, and we were reminded of this again this morning, was remember. Remember. We were told that the Jewish Sanhedrin remembered. We remember when this man was alive, he said that he was going to rise again, and we're going to make sure that that can't happen. They remembered. But these women and even the disciples didn't remember. And so they had to be reminded. And the angel said to them, remember. Verse 6 of the passage that we read there. And then he said to them, or we find that having been reminded, we're told in verse 9, then they returned from the tomb. And the third thing was they recounted, they told these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And we were reminded this morning that if we have heard and understood and believed this story, here are three things that should be characteristic of us in our lives. First of all, remember what he said. The fact that the resurrection is true. And then we're to return. Go back to those that we associate with. Those that we live with day by day. Those that are our companions in our life as we go on through our lives. And we're to recount to them. In our piece that we sang, go tell the world. Go tell the world. And the word is spread. And is spread, first of all, from these women as they hurried back in all the disbelief and all the perplexity and excitement of what they had seen and what they had heard. And they went back and they told the disciples. And they didn't believe. Oh, these silly women, you know. How can you believe anything that they possibly could have said? And so you have the women, first of all, going and finding that the tomb was empty and going back and telling the disciples. And then you have the witness of Peter and John. Luke only tells us that it was Peter that ran to see what was going on. John tells us himself in his gospel that he and Peter ran together. And of course, because he was the younger man, was able to outrun Peter and got there first. But Peter went to check up on the reality and on the truth of this that he had been told. And unfortunately, there are so many people today hearing the story of the Lord Jesus, knowing the facts of his death and his burial, are not prepared to check up for themselves. And we have to honor Frank Morrison for the fact that as an honest doubter, he began to look into the story and to check the facts for himself. And Peter went to check up and to find out whether what it was that the women had told him was in fact true. And so you get Peter checking up and you get in John's gospel, in John chapter 20, the corroboration of John. It says that Peter got there to the tomb first and he just sort of John got there first and he kind of hesitated outside, and Peter, just in absolute true to his character, went barging right inside. You know, they say that fools rush in where angels fear to tread, and Peter was not prepared to just stand around and wonder what was going on, and he went right into the tomb. And then we find that John went in as well. And the record is that they saw the clothes lying there. And yet, Luke tells us that they were still confused. And they went back and they still were not sure of what it was that they had seen. We find that the Lord Jesus was not going to leave them there. And those who will honestly seek for the truth, those who want to really know, God is willing to reach out and to meet them and to meet you at your place of need. And maybe if there's someone here today, and I don't know, maybe all of us that are here this morning are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're not, if you're still hesitating, if you're still not really sure, God doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to become convinced of the truth of this story. And so we find that Luke goes on to explain for us something of the evidence of the eyes and ears of these witnesses that were there that day. And he begins by telling us of the conversation that the women had with the angel. And I don't know what you watch on television. Very popular program on PAX television about Touched by an Angel. And to me, as I don't watch it. It just seems to me just so far out. Angels? Do you really believe in angels? Do you believe that you can have a conversation with an angel and hear these women? And it's something that is in fact unusual. And the most of us, I'm sure, would never ever claim to have had conversation with an angel. And yet these women, as they arrived at the tomb, and in spite of the unusualness of the situation, they had a conversation with an angel. And we find that when they went back and told the disciples what they had seen and what they had heard, and we spoke to an angel, they didn't believe it either. They weren't prepared. And so they had to go and check up for themselves. And yet we find that it was something that was undeniable. Because we find that the Lord Jesus himself, as he met these women, returning again afterwards from the tomb, that the Lord met them and spoke to them and confirmed in their minds and in their hearts the message that the angel had given to them. But there was not only the evidence of their ears, there was the evidence of their eyes. And this is why Luke tells us that Peter went in and saw the clothes lying. Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. The evidence of his eyes. He saw the clothing for himself. And the fact of that sight that he saw, and John emphasizes this for us in his account, was the fact that those clothes which had been wrapped around the body were lying there undisturbed. You see, one of the stories that has been sent around is that it was grave robbers. People that came in and ripped the clothes off and took the body away. But if that in fact had happened, those clothes would have been lying all tumbled and disturbed. But Peter and John, as they went in and as they looked, and it wasn't only the fact of that wrapping sheet which had been around his body, the shroud in which his body had been wrapped. And if we had more time, we would go into a little more detail of the method of preparing a body, the way in which they did it. But not only was there the shroud wrapped around the body, but there was also a wrapping that went around the head that was separate. And as the disciples went in and as they looked, and John says, as he saw the linen clothes lie, and the napkin which had been about his head lying in a place by itself, John believed. This was no grave robbers. That little envelope in which that body had lain, as it were, had just collapsed in place where it was, undisturbed. And the spices which had been interleaved with that cloth, still there, unchanged. But the body was gone. What a sight! And the significance of it came home to John's heart and to Peter here. He departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. And so we find that having seen that and understood something of the significance of the clothes and the way in which they lay, we find that this substantiated their faith. It confirmed in their minds the fact that what they had been told before, that Christ would rise, was in fact true. And they came to faith and they believed that which the Lord Jesus had said. And so the gospel stories go on to tell us that having seen this for themselves, the Lord Jesus came and met with the various ones. And it's interesting, and it will be interesting and helpful to go through and to look at the various meetings that took place. We have the record in John's Gospel of his meeting with Mary Magdalene. Oh, if you've taken him away, tell me where you've laid him. You see, she still didn't believe. Tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away. What faith, what love was demonstrated. Still not understanding. And then there had to be a meeting with Peter. That one who had claimed that he loved the Lord Jesus and that he would never desert him and never abandon him. And I look at my own heart, and I would ask us that are here this morning, on this Easter morning, how often have we denied the Lord? Three times over, Peter, with oaths and cursings, had denied his knowledge and his association with this one. And the record tells us that the Lord had a private meeting with Peter that morning, as he dealt face to face with his disciple. And oh, the love and the concern. And maybe there are some of us here, and maybe we have wandered so far from the person of the Lord Jesus that our hearts have grown cold to the place where we're denying him. And we're not prepared to declare our allegiance and our association with him. The Lord wants to have a personal dealing with you in your heart and in your life. And the Lord came and he met with Peter. And Peter was restored. But you see, it had been a public denial. And so we find that at the end of John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus, publicly with the other disciples around, "Peter, do you love me?" It's one thing to say that we've been restored in our love to the Lord Jesus Christ. There has to be a public declaration among those who saw us and heard and knew of our defection from him. And so the Lord appeared with Peter. And then there's a record that he appeared with the women. He appeared with those two who were walking on the way to Emmaus, their hearts dejected, their hearts broken, thinking that it was all over and all that they had hoped for not worthwhile anymore. And the Lord met them and walked with them and warmed their hearts. Somebody has said that was real spiritual heartburn. Did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke with us by the way? But you know, there was one that was missing from that group. And so we find that the Lord had to deal with the tragedy of the empty seat. And the disciples, in all the excitement of what they had heard and what they had seen, they said to Thomas, "We've seen the Lord. Unless I can put my fingers in the nail prints and thrust my hand into the wound in his side, I will not believe." The tragedy of the empty seat. The Lord wants us to come back to him. And like Thomas, as our eyes are opened and as we come to a recognition of who he is and that he has defeated death, he has defeated sin, and sin can be dealt with in our lives, we'll throw ourselves at his feet and we'll cry with Thomas, "My Lord and my God," declaring our allegiance to him. Very quickly, I don't want to leave the story that we had in Acts chapter 9. Oh, the Lord had dealt with Mary and restored comfort to her broken heart. He had met with Peter and restored him to fellowship and to service for himself. He had brought Thomas to that place of utter conviction of heart, "My Lord and my God." And those disciples, as they went out, and as we sang together, "Go spread the word. Go tell the world." The message began to spread. But you know, there was opposition.